Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 19th day of February, President's Day, 2018. And since I am appointing myself the president of the Vinnie Sawyer fan club, I think it's appropriate that on President's Day we have as our guest today Pastor Vincent Sawyer of Victory Baptist Church in Port Charlotte, Florida. Many of my friends from New York may recognize Vinnie Sawyer's name from his many years serving as pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Corona, Queens, New York. And he has been a guest on this program a number of times, even going back to the old days of his ministry in Queens. In fact, I still share to this day the recording of our interview on music, a biblical approach to music in the church. And today, since we as a nation once again witnessed a horrific event in a school where 17 people were massacred, 14 students and 3 faculty members of a school in Parkland, Florida. We are going to address a theme today that I hope will be a blessing to not only those ministering there to the citizens and survivors of that massacre in Parkland, Florida, but also to churches around the country and the world. Our theme today is the need for biblical parenting in the age of school massacres. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Vinnie Sawyer.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's a real honor for me to be on your broadcast. I've always appreciated your Bible-centered broadcast around the country and around the world now with the internet, and you ask the right questions, and I really appreciate that, Chris. Really appreciate your stand on the Word of God, your convictions regarding the gospel, and regarding, really, we talk about what's going on in our country today. There is a great need to get the gospel out, because a relationship with Jesus Christ is the ultimate answer to the chaos that we're seeing in societies around the world today.
Amen. Well, thank you very much for your encouraging words. And once again, let's remind our listeners, especially because there may be many who are discovering you for the first time, tell our listeners about Victory Baptist Church of Port Charlotte, Florida, and also about Macedonian Coal Ministries.
The Lord gave me the privilege to pastor in Queens, New York for 26 years, and we loved our city ministry there, the people in the church, and just the ministry God gave us was a tremendous blessing. About 4 years ago, God led me to start a ministry called Macedonian Call Ministries, where I travel around the world helping to train pastors in various countries. Like India or Africa or different places of great need, even in some areas that our type of work is not always welcome. but we are very privileged to be able to train pastors, teach them how to study Scripture, how to exegete the Word of God, how to put together sermons and lessons. And so I do that regularly. Matter of fact, in a couple of weeks, I'll be heading to the Philippines to train pastors the first week of March. I also pastor Victory Baptist Church. We're located on the southwest part of Florida, and I've been the senior pastor there for a year and a half now, and the Lord is growing a new work, and so we're excited about what God is doing, and the people love the Word of God, Chris, and that's one thing that I'm observing is that if you're a church that really preaches and teaches the Bible, that's going to meet needs, that's going to attract people. And because even though we have a lot of churches in America, we do not have the amount of solid Bible preaching and teaching that we need in this country. And I believe that's also a contributing factor to what's going on in our society as it seems to be unraveling.
And, brother, I just want to let you know that I can understand everything you're saying, but that static has returned from when we conducted the interview last time. It's up to you. I don't know if you have a different phone you want to use, but if you are fine with the fact that you are easily understood, it's just that there's a little over-modulation, and I've turned down the volumes, the input volumes on everything as far as I think I should go. And the
So, how is this? Is this better?
No, you're actually worse because your voice is muffled.
Oh, okay.
Well,
and I'd say we'll just stick with it then.
Okay. Yeah, because you are understandable. I just wanted to bring that to your attention because I don't know what it is about our phone connection that is doing this. In fact, it's interesting that I interview people from the UK and I get the clearest connections of anyone. I don't know why that is. Maybe that's not such a favorable view of our American telephone systems or something. I don't know.
Well, that could be. And, of course, there are spiritual forces at work that really don't want the type of information we're going to be giving today to go forth with any kind of clarity. So who knows?
That's right. And I could surely say, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, that I can't imagine anybody hating my guest, Vinnie Sawyer, unless they hate the gospel. but it's always been a pleasure and a joy having fellowship with you and working with you on different projects. And I have many, many fond memories of our fellowship together, going way back to the 90s when I orchestrated the Fundamental Baptist Forum radio program that you participated in. And, in fact, I always remember I could breathe a sigh of relief when I knew that it was you that was hosting the program.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Chris. I really enjoyed that. That was a tremendous broadcast there in the New York City area.
Yeah, there were quite a number of different hosts that would take turns hosting, and I always knew that I didn't have anything to worry about when Pastor Vinny had his turn, because sometimes some of those hosts would be turning on me and the very things I believe, anonymously, of course. They wouldn't mention me by name. But.
Right.
But anyway, God used the program mightily nonetheless, because there were some really fine gospel ministers who were a part of that program, including you.
Right.
And, this is a horrible reality, this school massacre syndrome that we have been unfortunately witnessing on our television screens far too often, and they are becoming closer together as far as the time frame is concerned and with more frequency. And, of course, the media always drives this subject to the battle over gun control issues. And,
right.
Of course, with primarily the liberals, or leftists, I should say, saying that the real reason that this keeps happening is because Republicans and conservatives are jeopardizing the safety of our nation with all of these loose gun laws that that are in place. And but we who are Christians, even though that I'm not saying that that has no relevance in our discussions in the public arena, but we have a far more important issue that goes, I think, to the root of many of these things, and that's the need for biblical parenting. Now, obviously, we should start off right away, Pastor Vinny,
sure,
with a caveat. We both know that the best of Christian parents can have children that turn into monsters.
Right.
Being a Christian is no guarantee, unlike what some of our brothers in Christ or professing Christians might believe, that we could physically breed Christianity because our children are guaranteed a promise of salvation. We know that that's not biblical at all, and that no matter how faithful parents are in guiding their children, that is not 100% successful in preventing any children of Christian parents to become evil, to become rebellious against God, to become even murderers like we've witnessed in this school in Parkland,
right,
Florida. But there is still a great need, and if you could begin with your thoughts on this.
Sure. First of all, the Bible does give us the promise blessing of God that if we do train up a child in the way that he should go when he's old, he won't depart from it. That's a general principle that if we do train our children right, if we initiate them in the right direction, when they are old, they'll stay on that course. And 1 Corinthians 7 also reminds us that the unbelieving children are actually sanctified. That doesn't mean they're saved, but that they have a special umbrella of protection because of their association with a saved father and a saved mother. Matter of fact, in that chapter, he talks about how the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the believing husband and vice versa. Elsewhere, your children were unclean, but now are they holy or sanctified or set apart. So there is a promise of God that when children are in the home of a parent that knows Christ as Lord and Savior, and they're walking with him, that there is a special blessing. It doesn't mean they're saved. It doesn't guarantee they will be saved. But there is an umbrella of protection upon those children because of their association with believing parents.
And what can you say? I don't know how much you know about the mass murderer in Parkland, Florida, but I understand that he was from an extremely troubled home, and I believe was adopted, and his adoptive parents died. Am I correct on that?
Yes. I understand his father died when he was a young child, so he didn't grow up with that solid father figure that every young person needs. His mother passed away last November, and so a young person who I guess had pity on him asked his parents if he could stay in their home, and that's where he was most recently, there in Parkland, Florida. But 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz was a troubled youngster, and let me just say this, Chris, that our hearts go out to those families that lost children or loved ones.
Yes.
And that our prayers go out for those families and friends of those young people and of that school in that area of Parkland, Florida, with 17 dead and all. This is a tremendous tragedy. You know, it's worse than Columbine in Colorado, worse than Newtown, Connecticut, Parkland, Florida. We need to pray for them at this time. But certainly there are going to be people that are going to try to use this for their agenda, that people will have an agenda to accomplish, and this is going to be used in various ways. Certainly, as Americans, we are grateful that we are a government by the people and for the people. At least that's the way the Founding Fathers set it up. and that our Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution guarantees the right to the people to keep and bear arms, and it says that right shall not be infringed or undermined or encroached upon. Now, my personal opinion is that better background checks is in order. I also would recommend that President Trump call for metal detectors in every school. This is where we have come to this point, where things like this are necessary. Also, armed security at every public school. And with all that's going on at the rapid rate that it is, we certainly need more secure measures to help prevent things like this from happening in the future. Of course, you can't prevent it entirely, but there needs to be steps taken to help curb it. I do believe, Chris, that there are many factors that have led to the mental state of this Nicholas Cruz and many young people today who are mentally unstable or deranged. I believe 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, really gives some marks or characteristics of end-time humanity, which describes how people will be in the last days. And if this is a good time to just quote that
text, oh, yeah,
and explain it a little, I'll be glad to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And I'd like to begin reading with verse 1. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know also, that in the last days meaning the last days of this age, before the return of Christ, before his kingdom is established, in the last days perilous times shall come," which means troublesome times. And so God says that there will be a troubled society, grievous times, times that are hard to deal with, extremely difficult days. He says, "In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves," self-lovers, humanism, not loving our neighbor as ourselves. And we certainly see self-love today on a scale that has never been seen, at least as long as you and I have been alive. And then he describes the world society as being marked by covetousness, money lovers. Literally, the word means to be affectionate for gold, to have a desire for wealth. Boasters, he goes on to say, which describes arrogance, people who brag about their self-superiority. Proud, which means haughty, those who look down upon others. And, of course, the boasting stems from the pride. Blasphemers, which simply means abusive speech toward God, toward the Lord Jesus Christ, toward the Word of God. And this will increase, and of course, in the last days, according to God's omniscient mind and how he is able to predict the future. Disobedient to parents, he says. That is, children will be unpersuaded of their need to submit to and obey parental authority. And, Chris, this is on a scale today like has never been as long as people have been upon planet Earth, where there is more disobedience to parents today than ever before in human history, where we do not honor our father and mother, and we do not treat them with respect, and children don't obey but defy their authority, and in fact, in many cases, they're even encouraged to do so by people who should know better. He describes the end times as being involving people who are unthankful, no appreciation for what God has given us or for what their parents gave to them. Ultimately, I think that the teaching of evolution has given rise to unthankfulness, just like Romans 1 says that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. And so a lot of what we see today is really due to a rejection of God in society. Many ask, where was God during that shooting in Parkland, Florida? Well, the answer is God was kicked out of the public schools in the 1970s. Prayer and Bible reading are viewed as unlawful today in that setting. And so don't ask, where was God? We have other things we're going to talk about today to really show what went on there and what's going on in our country with our young people. He describes people in the last days as being unholy, no reverence for that which is sacred. He says, without natural affection, no family loyalty is the idea of that word. It's the Greek word astorgoi, which means to not have a affection for those you would normally be loyal to. And, of course, that's demonstrated in marriages today where the divorce rate is what it is and the lack of loyalty to friends and even to our own children, where children are aborted. That natural affection is definitely missing where it never was before in human history. Then people will be liars, truth breakers, refuse to be bound by agreement. That's why you have the fine print, and people want you sign a contract on just about everything today, because people don't keep their word. They're not faithful like God is to his word. False accusers or devilish slander will be a mark of the last days. Listen to how he describes people. They'll be incontinent or uncontrolled, unrestrained, no power over their emotions, their words, and their actions. And boy, do we see that, not just in this shooting in Florida last week, but we see this lack of self-control demonstrated all over the country. Fierce or savage, untamed or brutal is the idea of that word, fierce. And God says in the last days, society will be marked by people who have a savage, untamed personality. Despisers of those who are good, that is, to have no love for good, and those who want to do right, where they'll call evil good and good evil. We have inverted values today. And then he says traitors, that is to betray someone so as to ruin them. Heady, which means headstrong, reckless, and rash, to rush forward in pursuit of getting your own way without the concern for those you crush along the way. And then he says high-minded, which means conceited, to be inflated with a sense of one's own knowledge and importance. And lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We live in a hedonistic society with much self-indulgence, and pleasure is viewed as the highest good and the proper aim of human life. And so people are preoccupied with all kinds of things, but they're not spending time with their children. And this is the way, Chris, God says society will be in the last days.
And I'm going to give our email address for those of our listeners who would like to join us on the air with a question of your own. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. 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 Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. In fact, we already have our first listener from White Plains, New York, RJ. He asks, Pastor Sawyer, could not anyone take your instructions about departing from biblical parenting and biblical obedience in many areas of life, regardless of what their eschatological position is? For instance, a postmillennialist may believe that the end times, or the absolute final times of life on this earth as we know it, are far off into the future, but they could still use the instructions from the scriptures that you are addressing in regard to making their families a more God-honoring and obedient and safe institution.
Yes, absolutely. But one thing we need to understand is that God's principles are for God's people. And unless one has been regenerated, unless a person has the Spirit of the living God living in them, why would they want to obey God's principles? And they don't have the desire to do so. They don't have the ability to do so. And so what I'm talking about today applies to God's people regardless of their particular eschatological views. But we do know this. I didn't mention anything about the timing of the last days. All I did was state that in the last days, these will be the type of characteristics that will mark society. And if you don't see every single one of these today on a scale that is totally unprecedented, if you know anything about history, then I don't know what to say. Because you read this, it's like reading the newspaper. And of course, God is so sovereign, he can predict the end from the beginning, and he knows the future so perfectly that God says that this is the way society will be in the last days, and whether or not we are the generation that will be here when those eschatological details are fulfilled, we cannot say. However, there will be one generation, at least, that will be the generation prior to the Lord's return, but I believe that we're quickly approaching those days, and certainly this list of characteristics is evidence that we are on a fast track toward the second coming of Christ and of the end of this age.
Well, thank you, RJ in White Plains, New York. Please continue to listen to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spread the word about the program in White Plains and beyond. We're going to take our first station break. And again, if anybody would like to call us, or should I say email us, we don't have call-ins, at least right now. We may revert to call-in questions in the future. But if you'd like to email us a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors with more of Vinnie Sawyer.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your world trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wmg.org/ironsharpens today.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us. and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, that's ProvidenceBaptistChurchMA.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can also call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. And please tell them that you heard about the program, or should I say about CVBBS, from the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio program and Chris Arnzen. And if you mention this program, when you purchase $50 or more worth of merchandise, your shipping is absolutely free of charge. And you'll also get, if you purchase $50 or more merchandise, you'll also get a free book that retails for $20, and that's John MacArthur's book on forgiveness, published by Crossway. And please mention Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, otherwise you will not be able to take advantage of those wonderful benefits. And now we are back. If anybody would like to join us today on the theme, The Need for Biblical Parenting in the Age of School Massacres, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a more personal and private matter. We do have a question from BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania. And BB wants to know, if someone is truly a lost person and they are not only mentally ill, but perhaps even demonically influenced, isn't it true that the best of Christian parenting will do nothing to prevent such a person from committing acts like they do?
Well, yes, and I might take that a step further and say that no amount or no change to gun laws is going to affect any positive change to that either. But when somebody is demonic or demon-possessed, and there's a lot of, or demon-oppressed, there are a lot of factors that led to that state that I'd like to talk about at this point, if this is a good time.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. There are a lot of reasons why many people have a problem with their mental state, and it's obvious that today we have young people have a great access to drugs. Today there's an obsession with violence. We see that on TV, just violence in the movies, in gaming. Young people playing violent games, and a lot of these people that are signing up for ISIS and doing a lot of shooting like this are involved in violent gaming and other things on the Internet. We've allowed as parents a lot of harmful dangers to enter our homes, and unfortunately parents are not in control of their children by and large. Today there's an obsession with death. We live in a brutal society that has little regard for life and the preservation of life. That certainly is illustrated by the abortion rate in this country. There's a people are desensitized to brutality and murder, taking innocent life. And in all of this, however, Chris, I think the major core problem, and this is what I'd like to spend the bulk of my time talking about today, is that teenagers need a father. Children need a father. There is a lack for fathers in homes today in this country, and this is why we are where we are as a nation primarily. Now, certainly there is a lot of demonic activity that is certainly happening, and I think young people are opening themselves up to demonic activity by the drug use, by viewing things and listening to certain forms of music, by being on certain places in the Internet, and there's a lot of factors that lead to demon possession or oppression in a lot of these mass murderers. I do believe that they have indeed opened themselves up, made themselves vulnerable to a satanic attack.
And I want to make a quick disclaimer or a caveat here, because there may be listeners who are jumping to the wrong conclusion. I, like you, believe that the demonic realm is not discussed enough by persons and even pastors and churches and denominations within the circle of fellowship that both you and I belong to, both fundamentalists and conservative Reformed Christians tend not to speak of the demonic realm. And I'm sure that you,
right.
I'm sure that you would know that a lot of folks from the circles of fellowship that you have enjoyed over the last number of decades that may have prone to be more from the fundamentalist bent, that this is not the type of discussion that that is prone to occur. But this is a very real thing. It's kind of interesting how both of those theological camps are very, very strong and stern about the adherence to the inerrancy of Scripture. And yet the Scriptures are filled with accounts of demonic activity, and we tend to think right. that, well, that's not going to happen today.
Right.
You know?
Right, right. And you're absolutely right, Chris. That's why I really believe in expositional preaching of the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And I think that if more pastors were preaching expository sermons, going through books of the Bible or going through units of thought and covering the details that are in the text, we would be forced to study more of what the Bible has to say about demonic activity, and we'd also be able to address needs that that are produced outside of the physical realm. There is a spiritual realm, and the Bible warns us over and over again how the devil is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible teaches that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the deceitful tactics of the devil. And the Scripture is filled with statements regarding an activity that is real, that is going on, that exists outside of the five senses. And if you were to travel with me to places like Haiti, or you were to go with me to places like India, where demon possession is so rampant, you run into it very frequently, places where they literally worship the devil and he controls people. But we have people today that have their head in the sand, buried in the sand, and do not really understand the whole counsel of God. But there is a lot of demonic activity. Now, having said that, there are some who see a devil behind every bush,
right.
who go to the extreme of perhaps attributing everything to the devil. Who was it, Flip Wilson, who used to say, the devil made me do it.
Right, right.
Well, the devil is not omnipresent. Only God is omnipresent. But, of course, the devil has a lot of demons working under his rank. And Scripture certainly teaches that just as there was a lot of activity, a lot of demonic activity going on at Christ's first coming, and in that first century, there's going to be a lot of demonic activity happening prior to the return of Christ. Scripture teaches, for example, that in the last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or doctrines of demons. And so there will be an increase in demonic activity, both on the religious realm as well as in secular society as the end of the age draws near.
Yes, and of course, nobody should ever think that demonic influence is some kind of an excuse where they are not accountable or held culpable by God himself for their actions. I mean, some people might, you know, in fact, people do. Sometimes people, when they are arrested for different things, will claim, well, demon voices told me to do this. Now, those claims may be true or false, but either way, the person is not left free from guilt because a demon told him to do something.
Exactly. We're all responsible for the choices we make in life. We're all responsible for our decisions and how we act. And we can't blame anyone else, because we'll all stand one day before God and we'll give an account for ourselves, for our own thought life, for what we allowed to enter our minds, for what we allowed to enter our ear gates. And I'll say this, Chris, that if you study a lot of these mentally deranged individuals who go shooting up people and so forth, you're going to find that they have a lot of similarities. You're going to find generally drug use. You're going to find that they were obsessed with or influenced by violence in many different ways. You're also going to find that a lot of these people were involved with pornography. And also that the people who are involved in these activities open themselves up literally to demonic activity that came upon them due to, and I know there will be people who disagree with me, but I can prove this this point through the music they listen to. You know, Chris, if you travel with me to certain places in Africa, there are certain types of music that are deliberately used to attract demons.
Wow.
And then Scripture teaches that there's also a particular type of music that expels demons. As a matter of fact, when King Saul was tormented by a demon, the Bible teaches that David would play sacred music with his harp, and the demons would literally stop bothering. They would leave because there's a music that attracts demons. There is a music that drives them away. And a lot of these young people that are involved with such brutality and murder, check out the music they've been listening to, and you'll find that there's a direct correlation between garbage in and garbage out.
Well, of course,
what young people allow into their lives is going to manifest itself in their emotions and in their actions, because their thinking has been twisted, their thinking has been ill-affected by the influences they've allowed deliberately in their lives, and it will even in many cases open them up to demonic oppression or demonic possession.
Yeah, and some of the music that these young people are listening to have lyrics actually telling those kids, those listeners, to kill people. I mean, yeah. You don't need back masking, as the
nope.
The craze used to be, a discussion amongst Christians about the horrible music, because when you play the music backwards, there's evil messages. Well, you don't even have to play the music backwards.
You play it forward, and it gives you the message very deliberately today.
Or you pick up a sheet.
Children are not influenced negatively by the music they're listening to, and that is simply not true.
Right, and of course you could just get the sheet music and read the lyrics. You don't even have to listen to
it. Exactly.
And in fact,
when young people do what they do, they're being trained to do it.
Right, and of course the thing that's amazing when liberals predominantly laugh when Christians make those claims, many of the recording artists themselves boast that those things are true. They might not be boasting about the violence and murderous aspects, but they're surely boasting about the sex and drugs that they believe the music promotes. Many of them will be very proud to say that that is what that music is all about.
That's correct.
And setting the mood for it.
Since the hippie generation, and getting worse ever since. And now we have children who were produced by a generation that rejected God and his word and his principles, and now we're seeing the fruit of that rejection. And you know, Chris, unless we get to the core issues, people could blame the NRA, and they could say that this guy was influenced by the NRA, trained by the NRA, as they're saying lately, this Nicholas Cruz. You know, the real issues are deeper than that, but again, there are certain people that have another agenda in store for this country, and that's why there's a craze about getting rid of all guns by citizens in this country, by some. But I'll tell you, there's other factors that people don't know about. They're deliberately ignorant of some of the things I'm talking about today.
Yeah, and the very fact that although there are people who with serious mental problems and evil proclivities that come out of the United States military, the vast majority of brave young men who are involved in our military return home very sane, and the fact that they were trained in the use of firearms and even trained to kill for righteous reasons, of course, the majority of them do not come back as mad, violent robots.
Right. That is right. And, you know, part of the reason for that is they've been properly disciplined, and they come back with discipline. They come back with, you know, they had an authority figure in their life that they had to submit to during their time. And there's an amazing thing happens to young people when they finally decide to submit to the authority that God has placed over them in their lives. But as long as they're going to rebel against their parental authority, and as long as parents are not going to train and discipline their people, their young people in a proper biblical manner, you're going to see this only increase in the future. And you know, Chris, the Bible says in the book of Malachi, chapter 4, again, regarding the end times and the time prior to the day of the Lord, which will be initiated by Christ's return and then God's wrath being poured out upon planet Earth. He says in Malachi 4, verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." So whether it's actually Elijah, who never died, by the way, he and Enoch are two people who never died. God just took them. But the Bible says in verse 6, listen to this, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And so before God smites this earth, he says he's going to send someone who is going to turn the heart of the fathers back to the children, and the heart of the children back to their fathers. So God in his omniscient, all-knowing mind could look down the corridor of time and predict that in the last days, prior to the day of the Lord, that there would be a need for fathers in the lives of children. And the lack of father today is the reason why our homes are what they are, and that is why we see young people that are totally out of control. The example in Scripture of this is King David, who when he avoided his son Absalom, what he ended up doing is producing a rebel.
Huh.
Absalom needed a father. He needed someone to be in his life, to be involved in his life. King David became embittered against his son and avoided him, would not talk to him, and as a result, Absalom would become a rebel, would rebel against his own father, would try to kill his own father. And so we have an example there. You cannot neglect your children. Every child needs a father.
And in fact, some of the most moving words in Scripture are David's grieving over Absalom. Very moving indeed. And by the way, some of you might think that I slighted before in my comments about the military, that I slighted the brave young women in the military. I didn't mean to do that, but I can say that I do not believe that women should be involved in active combat on the battlefield. I believe that there are areas that I think are biblically appropriate for women to be involved in the military, but certainly not on the battlefield. I don't know what your opinion is on that, Pastor Vinny.
Well, certainly, you know, the Scripture teaches that there are differences in the genders, differences that are not weaknesses, but strengths on both the sides of men and women. Men and women are different emotionally. Men and women are different by nature, physically, and in combat, I want somebody along my side who I'm not going to have to spend time necessarily safeguarding them, but I need to focus on the enemy at hand. But if I was a soldier, and again, this is just a weakening of America. This is a weakening of our country, where we find women doing men's roles and men doing women's roles, and we just see a mixed up society today. And if we keep heading in that direction, you're going to see more activity like what we saw in Parkland, Florida this week. We've got to get back to God's ordained roles for men and women, husbands and wives, and if we're going to just keep abandoning the fact that there are differences in gender and that are a need for mother to be at home with her children, there's a need for father to be providing for his family and devoted to his wife and both dedicated to each other. If we don't see families getting back to loving their children, training their children, spending time with their children, rather than letting their children loose on the internet and among their peers without any supervision and oversight, we haven't seen anything yet, Chris, the fallout of an abandonment of God's roles and God's ways.
And we have to go to our midway station break. This is a longer break than normal because of Grace Life Radio 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida. They require a 12-minute break between our 2 hours, so please be patient as we have this elongated break. Take this time to write questions to our guest at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. In fact, I forwarded you a question from a listener, Pastor Vinny, in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, so that you would have this time to look over the question during the station break.
Great. Thank you.
And don't go away. God willing, we are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com,
They're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Tired of box store Christianity? Of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times. 631-929-3512. 929-3512 or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
And remember, when you call into A Visit to the Pastor's Study, mention that you heard about that program from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And that program, once again, airs every Saturday, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE540AM.com, anywhere in the world via live streaming. And if you live in the New York tri-state area and also parts of Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Pennsylvania, you can hear that program on the AM radio dial at 540 AM. So always remember to tell all of our sponsors that you heard about them from Chris Arnson and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In fact, thanks to Bill Shishko, who is the host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study and who has been a friend of mine for decades, going back to the 1980s. He is a dear brother in Christ and a very solid, theologically solid pastor, as I know that my guest Vinnie Sawyer will attest to. But thanks.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, amen. Well, thanks to Pastor Bill Shishko, who is actually retired from the pastoral ministry and is now an itinerant evangelist and domestic missionary for Reformation Metro New York. Thanks to his recommendation, my guest tomorrow will be Elias Ayala, a middle and high school teacher at a private Christian school and a youth director at his local church on Long Island, New York. He's also a team member of the Historical Bible Society. He is going to be our guest today on, it's a good topic to dovetail with today, but the need for sound biblical apologetics for young people today. So that will be our theme tomorrow with Elias Ayala, and he comes highly recommended from by Bill Shishko, and if Bill Shishko highly recommends anyone, I've got a lot of confidence in his recommendation. Before we return to my discussion with Pastor Vinnie Sawyer, just a couple of quick announcements. The Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is once again having or sponsoring the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. And that name, Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, is really an affectionate term because it's no longer held in Philadelphia, at least not right now. It isn't and hasn't been for the past number of years. It's named after the events that used to take place at the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, where the late James Montgomery Boyce once pastored, and I had the honor and privilege of spending some of the critical years of my young Christian faith attending those conferences and being blessed by the speakers and by Dr. James Montgomery Boyce himself while attending the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. But this year, the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, and in fact, it's also very relevant to our discussion today. Its title is The Spirit of the Age and the Age of the Spirit. It's being held at two locations, from the April 13th through the 15th. It will be held at the First Christian Reformed Church of Byron Center, Michigan, And from the 27th through the 28th of April, it will be held at Proclamation Presbyterian Church in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. And the speakers include Daniel Aiken, Richard Gaffin, Daniel Hyde, Conrad Mbewe, who's one of the most powerful preachers alive today from Lusaka, Zambia, a dear friend of mine since 1995. Richard Phillips, another friend of mine from Second Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Jonathan Master, David Murray, and Scott Oliphant. If you would like to register for this, either of those conferences, the Spirit of the Age and the Age of the Spirit, in either Michigan or in Pennsylvania, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org. Then finally, I have to once again make myself or try to make myself comfortable enough to ask you for money, because I hate doing it. My advertisers, who spend hard-earned money sponsoring this program, have urged me for years to make public appeals for donations, and I never did until about 6 to 8 months ago I began doing this, because of the urgent need that we have financially here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If indeed you do love this program, you benefit from it, you share the MP3s with others, you look forward to the guests and topics that we address here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, then please consider donating to us by going to ironsharpensironradio.com. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click on support, and you'll be given a mailing address where you can send a check of any amount you can afford made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron. And as I've tried to remember to remind you, never siphon money out of your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church where you are a member. If you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not prayerfully seeking for one, then you are living in disobedience to God. Every born-again saint needs to be a member. If they're going to be obedient to God, they need to be a member of a solid Bible-believing church and under the authority of the pastors, elders, and leaders there at that local congregation. And you must support that church with your offerings. And you must also support your family, so never take food off of your family's dinner table or put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never forego paying a bill or something like that. And but if you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands to provide for church and home, then please consider donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Some of you even have been donating to us nearly every single week, and we thank God for you, and I thank God for every donation, no matter how large or small, and I just thank God for you in ways that I could not describe to you in the English language. And please consider, if you haven't done so already, making a contribution today, and perhaps even put us on your regular benevolent budget that you may have. And if you want to advertise with us, go just send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your professional practice, or special event, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with the theology expressed on this program. It doesn't have to be identical with the theology on this program, but it does need to be compatible with it. Then please send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. That is also the email address to send in a question to our guest today, Pastor Vinny Sawyer. And once again, our theme for the day is the need for biblical parenting in the age of school massacres. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as you know, Pastor Vinny, before the break, Ted from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, sent in a question that says, following up on Chris's question, I would suspect that regarding demonic activity, as things heat up, authentic believers will have no choice but start thinking about and dealing with it simply as a survival tactic in the last days. Would your guest agree?
Yes, I do believe that as the end of this age approaches, there's going to be an increase in demonic activity, as Scripture clearly teaches. But I also believe, Chris, that, like you mentioned just a few moments ago, that God tells us, especially as we see the day approaching, the need to assemble with God's people is really the survival tactic. the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How do we do that? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That day, when used without an antecedent, refers to the day of Christ or the day of his return. So as the end approaches, the need to assemble in a Bible-preaching local church will be greater. And so with all the demonic activity that we could warn people about, there is no better defense mechanism than to know the Word of God. When Jesus was tested by Satan in Matthew chapter 4, what did he do? He quoted Scripture. And I believe that the way to counter the lies that are spreading through our world today, the lies being spread through demonic activity, is to know the truth. For the truth will set you free. And so we need to encourage people to be part of a Bible-centered ministry, a Bible-centered local church, so that they can grow in their knowledge of the Word of God. And if you're not in one now, that's just probably a church that's busy entertaining people. Like one woman said, when will the church get back to feeding the sheep instead of entertaining the goats? then you need to leave and find a church that is committed to the exposition and plain teaching of Scripture.
In fact, that quote that you just cited, when will the church begin feeding the sheep and stop entertaining the goats, reminds me of something that my friend Dr. James R. White has said: what you win them with is what you win them to. And if you are using goat food to attract people to the church, you're going to just maintain their goatness, and you're going to raise up professing Christians that are going to be horrible ambassadors for Christ, if at all, because they'll be telling the world a bunch of nonsense that's not even real or true or biblically authentic.
That's right. And, you know, the Bible does tell us to preach the Word, to preach it whether it's convenient or not convenient, whether they listen or don't listen, whether it's in season or out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, which means sound teaching. Then he warns us, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. And so people want to hear stories. They don't want to hear the truth, but we have to keep preaching and teaching the truth. And, Chris, your theme today, talking about rearing children in a day of such brutality like we witnessed last week in Parkland, Florida, I stated earlier that there are many factors that lead to the mental state of young people who would do such a thing. We talked about access to drugs, obsession with violence on TV and gaming and internet, obsession with death, becoming a desensitized society. But again, I believe the major core problem, which has led to out-of-control teenagers, is a lack of a father in the home. Either the father is not there, or if he is there, he is passive, he is not involved, and we need fathers to start loving their children. You know, it's interesting that on Mother's Day cards that are sent from prisons in May, you compare that with the absence of Father's Day cards that are purchased in the month of June.
Wow.
Is quite amazing. As a matter of fact, Americans spend, this is a 2014 statistic, but Americans spend $7.4 billion less on dads on Father's Day than on mothers on Mother's Day. And so it really illustrates a major problem in our land. But you know, the Bible teaches in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long upon the earth, which basically means that if you honor your parents, if you treat them with value, if you submit to their God-given authority in your life and trust God to work through the decisions of mom and dad, God not only promises you a good life, but he promises you a long life. And then he says, and you fathers. Interesting, he doesn't say, and you mothers. But he says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so there is a command given by God to the father, showing that it is his responsibility to train his children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I'll tell you, Chris, this is what is needed. If we're going to correct the problem that we see in schools, the problem we see in society with our young people, it's going to start with dad being in the home, husband and wives being committed to their marriage and to their children, and fathers involved in their children's lives. You know, it's quite interesting that in the book of Genesis, of course, God created the family structure, and he created one wife for Adam, and then he blessed that union with children, and that basic institution of the home would serve as the prototype of all families that would follow. And so all throughout the Bible, the blessed pattern involved a monogamous and heterosexual marriage and children that would be under the oversight and loving authority of mom and dad. And many children today have no such structure in their lives. In many cases, dad is either non-existent or non-involved in the children's lives. And single moms need added grace to try to fulfill both roles and to rear the children all by themselves.
Well, you know, there's a...
Yeah,
go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Okay. I was going to say, as a result of many young people not having a father in their lives, many Christian children will have to find God's fatherhood in their lives to be an all-sufficient replacement for a missing dad. As the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6:18, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And of course, Psalm 68:5 calls God a father of the fatherless. And so if young people are listening and they don't have a father who's involved in their lives, well, you have God as your father. And although you're going to miss out on learning by example what a father should be, you can study the Bible and find Bible precept as how the ideal family is supposed to function.
Amen.
And Chris, if I could just say this, I believe that the increasing femininity of boys in our country and the rise of homosexuality in America may be in large measure attributed to the decrease of the male influence in their home life.
In fact, all right, go ahead, finish your thought, because there is a question that really dovetails on that. Go ahead, finish your thought.
Oh, okay. I was just going to add that among a multitude of other problems, same-sex marriages, homosexual marriages, or lesbian marriages, they fail because they do not provide the balance of physical and emotional strength that a husband and wife bring to the children. There's something beneficial and unique that is added to the life of a child when he or she sees the balance of feminine and masculine character traits. Growing up, I learned some things from my mother that I did not learn from my dad. And I learned some things from my dad that I did not learn from my mother. And children need that balanced socialization in the home of a loving father and a loving mother, or they're going to be missing a lot of what God intended for them.
Amen. And CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, has a question that really dovetails with what you were just saying. He says, I do not want to broad brush here because I know that it is slander and bearing false witness against your neighbor, even if you say something true about someone who is a sinner and actively rebelling against God. However, isn't it interesting that statistically there is a disproportionate percentage of homosexuals involved in serial killing, and could this be for the very reason that both those who are involved in these types of mass murders and serial killings have a longing to be attached to a father they never had and missed out on the benefit of the nurturing of a father? It seems that the homosexual male population statistically has the same trait or history behind them, that they had no fatherly figure in their life actively involved in parenting them. And of course, you know, there may be listeners who are actively involved in that sin who say, what are you talking about? My father was a great dad, and et cetera. But it's statistically, both of those groups of people happen to be in large numbers, large percentages, missing a active father in their life. Isn't that true?
Well, it's absolutely true. Just study it out. Look at the statistics, and you'll find that people that turn to that lifestyle did not generally have a father in their life. If he was in the home, he certainly was not influencing them in a godly way or in a proper way in many cases. I'm not broad brushing. I'm not saying this is true in every case, but certainly we need fathers in the home teaching their children, leading their families, providing all that a father is designed by God to provide. And, you know, I really believe, Chris, that God, of course, sets the perfect example for how a father should treat his children. Just look at how our Heavenly Father deals with his children. He oversees his children. Dad, are you leading your family? God sacrificially loves his children. Are we loving our children? God gives to his children. He provides for his family. Are we providing for our families? God instructs his children. Are we as dads instructing our children? And we could talk about how God is true to his word. He's faithful to his promises. When he gives a promise, he keeps it. Dads, we need to be faithful. We need to be reliable, dependent, consistent. Our children need to know that our word is true and that what we say we will do. And our Heavenly Father is quick to protect. He's zealously protective of his children. And he wants the best for us. As Paul even reflects God's heart when he says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." God doesn't want to share his children with the sinful world, but he longs for our spirit to be devoted to him. And we need to give the feeling of security by being a real man, a man who will guard his family, a man who will pray for his family, who will intercede like Job did for his children. And we need to copy God's pattern. And children need to copy our pattern. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture that I think applies to fathers where God admonishes us in 1 Timothy 4:12, where he says to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth." And Timothy wasn't a teenager, but he was a young man in pastoral ministry. And he says, "Be thou an example of the believers in word," which means in what you say with your mouth, your conversation, your talk, in your lifestyle, your manner of living, in your charity or your love. Be an example in your spirit, your zeal for God and the things of God. Be an example. Be an example in your faith, your belief in the Lord, your belief in his word, in his promises. Be an example in purity, he says, in our holiness. And so, children are like walking camcorders, Chris. From the time they are born, they are recording everything their little eyes see, everything their ears hear, and they are recording what they see in mom and dad. And I'll tell you, if there's ever a time where we need dads to get on their face before God and repent of their sin, it is now, because our children are looking up to us, and we can't expect children that are going to turn out right if we are fathers do not have a lifestyle that's worth copying. Because what we do and what we allow in our lives will tend to be exaggerated in our children. Because like produces like father, like son. You know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. They'll not only copy our faults, they'll magnify them. And so we need to be dad to set a example of godliness that our young people, our children, can follow.
Excellent. And we're going to our final break right now. It's a much briefer break than the last one, for sure. If you'd like to join us, now is the time to do it. If you have a question, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with our last 25 minutes with Pastor Vinny Sawyer right after these messages from our sponsor.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and this is our final 25 minutes of our interview today with Pastor Vincent Sawyer of Victory Baptist Church in Port Charlotte, Florida. And he's also the founder of the Macedonian Call Ministries. We are discussing the need for biblical parenting in the age of school massacres. And our email address, if you have a question, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. C-H-R-I-S-A-R-N-Z-E-N @gmail.com. Please give us your first name, city, and state and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we have Christopher from Suffolk County, New York, who says, let's see here, Pastor Vinny, I know that we can never allow people to use as an excuse the fact that they were mistreated and that they were bullies in school to defend themselves for all kinds of horrific acts. But having said that, should not Christian young people be looking out for those who are neglected, shunned, mocked, and bullied among them, that they may reach out to them with the love of Jesus Christ and welcome them into their gatherings of friendship, that they might not only possibly hear the gospel and become saved, but that a monster in the making may be prevented?
Very well said. I agree with that. Certainly, Nicholas Cruz was a troubled young man who didn't have a lot of friends. Matter of fact, maybe he had that one friend who had asked his mom and dad, can we please bring him into our home? But, you know, outside of that and prior to that, he needed friends. He needed people to encourage him. Certainly, we also need to be careful. Having said that, we want, you know, the Bible does teach, and it warns that those who associate with wise people will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. We don't want our children associating with fools, but if there's a person who is being shunned and avoided and so forth, go as far as the Spirit of God leads. God may use you. He may use your voice. He may use your testimony to impact that person for eternity. And to share the gospel with a person like that, I mean, this is part of evangelism. This is how, Chris, we reach people for Christ, is we show love to people. We spend time with people. We are patient with people. We look out for those that are kind of outcast and those that are looked down upon. And that's part of loving other people. And certainly, if we do that, we can perhaps be used by God to rescue a lot of people from perishing and from turning out like this unfortunate individual.
Yes, and don't you believe that there's a difference between a young Christian person, or any young person, starting to associate with groups of rebellious young people? There's a difference between that,
yeah,
and a group
and
of
one individual.
Yeah, a group of Christians welcoming into their midst a troubled young rebellious youth, as long as those that are surrounding this person do not start to imitate any of his wrongdoings.
Right. Certainly, we want to be the influence and not be influenced by a troubled individual. But we do want to be a positive influence, and it is wise to do that with a group of other friends. And of course, a young lady has to be very careful. A teenage girl cannot establish a very intimate relationship with another boy who is troubled. That could lead to serious problems.
Yep.
But I believe that young men who know the Lord and love the Lord ought to be on the lookout for teenagers that need some encouragement, that need a buddy. Maybe they don't have a good father figure in their life, and so the Lord can use such a loving friend to really show them Christ and to set a good example and to encourage them. And you can alter the direction of somebody's life by being what Christ wants you to be.
Yes, and obviously, according to the scriptures, especially when you're talking about adults, although the text doesn't specify adults, I think that we could assume that it's primarily talking about adults, that the only people we are clearly told not to have fellowship with, break bread with, etc., are those who are professing to be Christians who are living in rebellion and unrepentance. That we are to be lights.
Yes.
We are to be lights to the dark world around us. And Jesus obviously set an example by associating with very evil people.
Yes, and he did not become evil in order to reach the evil.
That's right.
He did not compromise his truth and his conviction in order to impact others for eternity. He remained light when he was in the midst of darkness. And he would not go into places of sinful activity in order to reach sinners, but a neutral setting, like Matthew's home, where Matthew would invite his tax collector friends, the publicans and sinners, to come over for dinner and get to meet Jesus the Messiah. And so Jesus would impact sinners in neutral locations. He would not go into dens of wickedness in order to reach people whose lives are engulfed in wickedness.
Amen.
Nor did he become wicked to reach the wicked.
Right.
And he did not compromise truth to impact others for the truth.
Amen. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Ronald says, in the midst of the hysteria of anti-gun rhetoric by leftists, shouldn't we point out that there is a lot of healthy moral activity that fathers and sons can enjoy using guns, training up children to use guns properly with target practice and even hunting and other things that are excellent ways for fathers and sons to have their relationship bonded more tightly together?
Well that's certainly true. And a good father is going to take his son fishing. A good father will teach his son perhaps how to hunt. And I think there's nothing wrong with bringing your sons to the range, teaching them how to properly use a firearm. But there is a need to keep those guns safe, for there have been many examples of young people getting their hands on a gun that wasn't locked up, wasn't in a place of safety, and of course terrible things happen. But again, the problem is not guns. Just like in history past, the problem was not with swords. The problem was with people. And again, in this situation recently, Nicholas Cruz was a troubled young man who needed a father in his life from very early in his life, and that could have averted what this young man did. But again, Chris, I really believe that the answer is getting back to a proper biblical Christian home where there is a loving father and mother who are involved in their young people's life. And, you know, children need dads who truly know Christ, who have conviction that the Bible is the Word of God and the sole authority on matters related to the family and life, a father that has some spiritual insight and discernment, who's walking with the Lord under the control of the Holy Spirit, exhibiting the fruit of the Holy Spirit, who has personal godliness and sets a biblical example that his children can follow, a dad who's committed to his wife. Parental unity is so important, and children need that security of knowing that mom and dad love each other, that they are committed to each other for life, and they need to see dad's faith, that he trusts in the Lord with all of his heart. He does not lean on his own understanding, but he acknowledges God in all his ways, because the Lord will truly direct his path. And you know what kids need, Chris? They need biblical training, biblical discipline from early on, and we don't have time in this segment to really talk about that, but Scripture is very clear that if you chasten your son while there is hope, that if you don't withhold the rod or withhold correction from the child, that the Bible admonishes us that that the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. He says, correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yea, he will give delight unto thy soul. And young people need to know the difference between right and wrong. They need to know that there are consequences for bad behavior. And a lot of kids today are growing up in homes where there is no penalty for bad behavior. And so don't be surprised later on in life when your children go out there and do horrific deeds like this, when you did not teach them the difference between right and wrong. And so we have to get back to training our children, teaching them about the Lord, teaching them God's truth, just like Deuteronomy 6 says, you shall teach them diligently unto thy children. You shall talk of them being the words of God, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And so God is teaching a continual imparting of truth to the next generation, so that they will learn the difference between right and wrong, and they'll truly honor God with their life instead of throw it away and throw the lives of others away, like happened last week in Parkland, Florida.
What I'd like you to do before you close the program in a more general way, right now I'd like you to specifically address those listeners that may be heartbroken and filled, riddled with guilt because their children are already grown up out of the house. Perhaps they're still under the same roof, but their children have already perhaps demonstrated overt and scandalous rebellion and wickedness. Perhaps their children are in prison. Perhaps their children are deceased because of this, and their parents are just totally crippled with guilt over this. They recognize they were horrible parents. Perhaps they even became Christians late in life, or perhaps they even neglected right. Christian responsibilities while they were still Christians. But if you could, give a word to these parents.
I would say, first of all, that as you look at your past, as you look at your parenting, as you look at your life, if there were areas of failure, I would say the first thing to do, if your children are still alive and accessible, to call them up and genuinely apologize to them and say, you know, we love you, but we have to ask you to forgive us. But we were not perfect parents. We did not always do the right thing. Sometimes we avoided you. We didn't teach you God's word. We didn't bring you to a good local church like we should have, or whatever the area of neglect may have been. But I think every child will respect you more if you will humble yourself and admit to your children your failures and ask for their forgiveness. Another thing is, from this point on, maybe you failed to some degree, and we've all failed to some degree in our parenting. None of us as parents are perfect. But we can help the next generation. Maybe you can start by praying for your children more, praying for your grandchildren, setting the example for your grandchildren to follow. If you didn't quite do what you should have done to your children, at least make up for it by seeking to be a godly, loving grandparent or great-grandparent. And so I would say start with apology, seek to be reconciled to your children, and then seek to make an impact on the generation to come. And perhaps God can even use you in your local church to be a blessing to the children there, of course, under the direction of the pastors or elders in that church.
And I'm assuming you would agree with me. I heard a saying from someone who I can't remember the source of this saying, but the saying was, never let your failures go to waste, and we can be of great value to others by being open and honest about our failures and telling others about the consequences of those failures and telling them about the way the Bible would instruct us to properly behave. And this could be in any number of circumstances outside of parenting, but in this case, we're specifically talking about parenting.
Absolutely, Chris. We all can learn from mistakes. We can grow from mistakes. It's better to learn in advance by precept than to have to learn through the school of hard knocks. But we've all, to one degree or another, gone through that school of hard knocks, and we have learned some things. And what God has taught us, we can humbly teach the next generation so that they can avoid a lot of obstacles and problems that are just filling and pervading our society today. And so I would just encourage parents, God's not done with you yet. God's not done with any of us. But I want to encourage you with this. Philippians 1:6 says that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So until Christ returns, or until you meet him at death and meet him in glory, continue to grow, continue to serve him, abound in the work of the Lord, love your spouse, be faithful to your wife if you're married, and truly learn from your failures, learn from your mistakes, and teach those lessons to your children and to your grandchildren.
Well, perhaps if you could conclude with about 5 minutes of uninterrupted time with a message specifically for the youths listening, the young people or the teenagers, etc., who might even be in the midst of open rebellion. They may have parents or friends, Christian friends, who have told them to listen to the show today, or they may be hearing this show later on via the archived recording of it. So please have some message to all of the young people that may be listening.
Sure will. Let me encourage all of the young people listening to, you know, you can't disobey God's word and expect to be blessed. If we want a future that is blessed, if we want if we want someday to be able to train our children in a proper way, then we as children, if we're saved, if we know Christ as Savior, then we certainly need to follow his ways. And this takes faith. It takes faith to submit to the authority of a mom or a dad who's saying, son or daughter, I don't want you to do this. I don't think this is good for you. I'm asking you not to. And you are, your flesh is screaming out, I really want to do this, or I want to go there. But at that moment, that is a test of your faith in God. Do you have the faith to believe that God is using or can use your parents' decision for your good? I see submission to authority really amounts to faith in God. Can I trust God to work through the authority that God has placed in my life? Can I trust God to work through the decision of my father? Can I trust God to work through the decision of my mother? And when you do that, you're really showing ultimately your trust in the Lord. And let me also say this, there's a lot of young people that don't have a mom and dad with very high character, and so it may be hard to respect them for their personal character. If such is the case, then at least respect them for their position's sake. If you can't respect them because they're not people of good character and you don't respect their character, at least respect them because they are your mother or they are your father, and respect the position that God has given them, and by doing so, you are honoring the Lord. We need to treat our parents with value and realize that God gave me my mom and dad. And if you do have a mother and a father, thank God for them. Even if they're not perfect, none of us are, but be very thankful that you have a mother and a father, and I would just admonish you to honor them, treat them with value and respect, and submit to their oversight in your life. Let them serve you by providing that guidance, which I know is so foreign in today's world and in people's understanding, but study what Scripture says in Colossians 3:18 and Ephesians chapter 6 and a host of other scriptures which show us the blessings when we submit to authority versus the cursings that come upon us when we rebel against authority. Because the authorities that exist are ordained of God. It is the Lord who ultimately put every power into existence, and parental authority is under attack globally. And I think it's a satanic agenda to destroy the home and then to destroy civilization, and to prepare the way for the lawless one, or the Antichrist. And so the world, the mystery of iniquity is already at work, preparing the arrival of the man of sin, and that's why we're seeing things on a large, grand scale today when it comes to rebellion in all aspects of society.
Amen. Isn't it ironic that the left simultaneously pushes the rhetoric of children's rights, and yet simultaneously they're calling out for a woman's rights to murder their own children in the womb?
Yes, and you know, the left is really working for the it seems they're working for a certain boss. It's certainly not the righteous principles of Scripture that I see them upholding in their statements. But certainly all of us have a right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness in America, but not at the expense of dishonoring and disobeying the authority that God has established for our well-being. My friends, don't get out from under that umbrella of protection. Don't rebel against that authority. That's God's way to keep you safe and to help provide guidance in your life. So much more could be said. But, Chris, thank you for having me on your program today. It's been a pleasure as always.
Yes, and I want to make sure that our listeners have your website, salvationvictory.com, salvationvictory.com. That is the website for Victory Baptist Church of Port Charlotte, Florida, and you'll also be able to find out more information about Macedonian Call Ministries by going to that website. Pastor Vinny, if you could hold on, I'd like to say a proper goodbye to you off the air, and I want to thank everybody who listened to the program today, especially those who took the time to write in questions, and please always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.